You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday morning to you, Mike McMurrin, for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. I'm still getting email from the Black Helicopter Brothers appearance a week ago. As people kind of go through the podcast.
Yeah.
Tim Lynch's line. That's deep state shit, bro. Yeah, still booming. Still booming through the atmosphere. But that's not what I want to talk about today, so I'm not going to get distracted. I want to talk to you about kind of a, I don't want to say an epiphany, but the more I do post-traumatic winning, the more I scratch my head, okay? And here's why I scratch my head. So, I get asked different questions about post-traumatic winning. Well, holy shit, Mac. That's pretty amazing. But it's not like any of it's like rocket science. Why do you think that we haven't done this before? And I said, well, I think the guys that have the operational experience, they go on to do operations. That these things are a part of their life, and then they move on to other things. They don't dwell in this sphere, you know, most often, the guys who are operators. And I said, but, you know, I guess I'm a little bit different because my life has been different. And my life's been touched like by this stuff, and you know, so it stays with me. And because I was on active duty, I probably, you know, it occupied my thoughts, and I didn't go on to other operational things that maybe would have taken my focus someplace else. I said, that's about the best, you know. I don't know. Not enough people, operational people, look into this stuff. No, that's not a slam on anybody who does, or maybe it is, I don't know. But here's the thing that as I got home last night, as I did some work, and I did this presentation for the regimental commanders, the separate battalion commanders and sergeant majors of the 1st Marine Division at the invitation of Major General Bob Casselvi, who saw it at the General Officer Summit in January. And again, for me, it's very cool because all my service is with the 1st Marine Division. And so to go back there is always a treat. And then saw guys that I haven't seen in a while, which is always cool. So there's always students of mine from 28 years ago. They're colonels now and higher. And so that's always a kick in the ass. And then guys you served with, Colonel Kyle Ellison, who's the CO of 7th Marines, was there. And he was in Afghanistan in 2010, 2011. A great guy. And somebody who I'd never met, but I'd heard great things about, is the commanding officer of the 5th Marine Regiment, and that's Colonel George Schreffler. So I got a chance to meet those guys, and so in giving the pitch, again, and it, like I said, every time I do it, I mean, I learn from it. Yeah, you would think that, well, you're up there giving it, but... and what I love about this is I love one of my friends, Jeff Kenny, who you heard yesterday. He came and saw it for the first time. So it was interesting to hear his thoughts on it as we both drove home and talking on the phone while we're driving. And so here's what I'll tell you. And Jeff and I were talking about this. How did anybody think that not talking about the things that occupy our thoughts, how did anybody think that was a good deal? Yeah, riddle me that, Batman. So something that you experience somehow or other, you don't talk about it, and that's good? Or you only talk about it to a stranger, a therapist, who then can give you the advice that a stranger would give somebody. And I don't know how good that advice is. Right? Even if they're sitting there listening to you for 30 minutes a week, an hour a week, you know, how good is that advice? And so, I mean, think about it. Somebody that is an event that is life changing in your life to you. Somehow or other, we don't talk about those things. It's like the stupidest shit in the world. Now, somebody, and so as I go down that road, you know, I get different comments from people. So what made you talk about it? Well, I don't know. My gunny telling me that you're never going to get over it. And so if I'm never going to get over it, you know, and I give that advice to other people, and when I give that advice, you know, I began to talk about it a little bit. And so I don't know that I was ever really afraid to talk about it. But I will say this. So that's just me and my own personal discovery. What would have really helped me is if I would have had guys that were senior to me, that I looked up to, like my gunny, because I just took that advice to the bank, like young Marines do today with post-traumatic winning. Because of the way it's presented, and because of the credibility the people, the presenters have, and I'm one of them, Mike Musselman's another one, I mean, those are legit motherfuckers, man. Right? Guys who've achieved in life, right? They're good dudes, they're honest, and they love Marines, and they love being leaders, right? Josh, legit guy. So they look at this stuff like I looked at what my gunny told me, right? And they take it to the bank, and they'll, you know, in talking to me, they'll say, no, well, we have these commandments, which always makes me laugh. Always makes me laugh because I wrote them. Yeah, I know, I'm the author of them. But they look at it as this is like etched in stone. This is the truth. And it is. That's a cool thing about it. So I guess when I think about it, why didn't anybody tell me you got to talk about this shit? You can't. Why did it not occur to anybody to stand up in a crowded room and say, hey, I'm going to give you some blunt force traumatic advice? You can't try to stick this in the closet and make it go away. If you do that, it will make your life extremely difficult because you have one course of action, right? Stick it in the closet, slam the door and pretend that it's not in there. But it calls your name every day. There's smells that make the video roll in your head. There's sounds that make the video roll in your head. Right? There's things people say that make the video roll in your head. There's things you see on TV that make the video roll in your head. So, how the fuck can we think that we're going to stick that shit that is laser blasted into our brain housing group in the closet and then we're not going to talk about it? And that that's going to work out good for somebody? Yeah, I agree. It's stupid. It's like stupid as stupid can be. And so, as I thought about that, you know, it's a head scratcher to me. Why wouldn't somebody stand up in my career and say, "Hey, I'm gonna tell you, young chucklehead, something. Right, as you go through life, you're gonna cross paths with some difficult things. Okay, those things are gonna stay with you. You've got to learn how to do a couple things. Okay, you've got to learn how to talk about it. And I'm gonna give you some advice. You have to learn how to talk about it with your wife, and then." You have to learn how to talk about it with somebody close to you. And it doesn't have to be somebody who went through a similar experience. Somebody that's close to you, that cares about you, that you know that you can count on. And that you'll feel comfortable doing that. And that won't judge you. And I think we all have those people in our lives. If I would have got that advice to somebody, I'd have been all over that. I'd have done it. But in my career, I've never heard anybody say that, which strikes me as the craziest shit in the world. And so I was thinking about that last night. How could we have missed that? How could institutionally, how could that not be the course? Right? And whether you're in the military, whether you're civilian, you have to talk about it. You have to talk about it with somebody who's close to you. It is the single most significant piece. It is the single most significant piece of post-traumatic winning. And the hardest one to do. The hardest one to do. Right? Well, my grandfather, he was in World War II. He never talked about it. Like, that's some kind of manly thing to do. Yeah, but he was at the VFW drinking every day, yes? Well, yeah, he was. Right? Was that a good thing? No. Hell no, it's not. But for some reason, it's not the way we do it. And again, not just in military life, in civilian life too. I mean, think how different it would be is when something traumatic happened to somebody, if you had somebody, a mentor that said, "Hey, I want you to know these things. One, you're not getting over it. Okay? Two, you can live a great life still. Three, you're going to have to talk about it. Okay? It ain't going away, so you got to learn how to talk about it. You got to learn how to share your pain. Okay? You got to learn how to do that." Think how different it would be most people's paths through trauma. Amazing, right? And so, I don't know, so that was just rolling through my head last night, right? Because it is when you tell people they got to talk. And then I got into a conversation with a chaplain yesterday afterwards, and he said, and he talked about his chaplain in Fallujah in 2004 during the second Fallujah, Al-Fajr. So he was talking about when they would have rough stuff happen, he would get the Marines together and they would talk. And he said, I'd go around the circle and say, what'd you see? And everybody would go talk about what they saw. What'd you think? People talk about what they thought. What do you feel now? Right? And they would go around. And he said it was really, really good. He said, so I think that it's important that, you know, you talk to people that, you know, that were there. And I said, I don't agree. And chaplain, I said, I think you got to talk to somebody. It doesn't matter who. You have to talk to somebody who you trust. And whether they were there or not doesn't really matter. What matters is you feel safe and that you can unburden yourself. So, anyway, I figured I would unburden myself by sharing that with you. So, good morning to you. And let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to swim in the deep end of the pool. Today. And when I say the deep end, I mean the deep end. What we're going to do today is we're going to have Scott Cuomo on. And Scott is a thinker. He's also an IOC guy, which makes him part of my fraternity, which is cool. And I saw some IOC guys yesterday. Yeah, we're like the gatekeepers. And everybody knows it. Oh, he was an IOC guy. He's coming on today. He and some friends of his wrote an article that's in the online edition because it's so long, right? I want to say it's 27 pages printed. The title is Not Yet Openly at War, But Still Mostly at Peace, Exploit the Opportunity to Become the 21st Century Force That Our Nation Needs. So, pretty critical of the Marine Corps and its strategic positioning, right? Still dependent on amphibs when amphibs may not be around for a whole lot longer. So, Scott's going to come on and we're going to kind of go through the article. I don't know that we're going to be able to get through the whole thing because trying to unpack it is a mighty chore because there's a lot of intellectual content in there, but we will do our best to do that. So Scott Cuomo, going to be our guest. You'll enjoy meeting him. He's a smart guy. And, you've heard about him. If you listen to, the program while we're at the Marine Corps Marathon, her name escapes me right now, but she was running, for, I want to say her son who served with Scott, and Scott was her son's platoon commander, and her son was killed. And so they run the Marine Corps Marathon together. And so he's going to join us today. So you've heard him on the program before. So anyway, we'll get going. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official. And memo to you, got to talk about it, man. You think you're going to take that stuff with you? No way. And it's dedicated to the leaders of the 1st Marine Division, the Blue Diamond, the national treasure known as the Blue Diamond, the storied Blue Diamond. It was great being in their company yesterday, and much appreciated, and hopefully looking forward to doing more work with them, and it's dedicated to them and what they do.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make a jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
breaking news out of Chicago. Honestly, you know, it's amazing when you watch the news about that story. Like, how crazy is that stuff, right? I think that I'm going to be able to fool the entire nation with this hoax and nobody's going to find out about it. And then the whole Make America Great thing again and the media reaction to it. And I, you know, again, you have Kamala Harris come out and say, this is a modern day lynching, right? And then when asked about it yesterday, she said, well, you know, it's an ongoing investigation, put on her prosecutorial hat, took off her political hack hat, and said, well, you know, it'd be inappropriate for me to comment while it's an ongoing investigation. Oh, but you let loose with lynching, right, prior to that. Anyway, check the weather around Marina. Clouds at 39 in Quantico. Foggy in 61 at Camp Lejeune. Raining in 46 in Granbury, Texas. Cloudy in 34 in 29 Palms. Clouds at 49 at Pendleton. Okinawa, dark cloudy in 72. Dark cloudy and 61 in Ramadi. So warming up in Iraq. In Afghanistan, cooling off. Clear dark at 44 in Marja. And at the home of All Marine Radio, where we talk about it. Yeah, we talk about it. It is dark, cloudy, and 50 degrees. You know, and again, you know who I can't... I mean, and I know I say a lot of nice things about Nielsen, but... And I probably shouldn't, but let me tell you why. Nielsen is a Vietnam veteran who came home and said, when he heard about All Marine Radio, he seized on it. They're talking about it. They're doing what we didn't do. And really what post-traumatic winning needs, it needs Vietnam veterans to stand up and say, you guys got to talk about it. Don't do what we did. And Nielsen really is the first guy that I know of that really seized on that. So he deserves high marks for that. So, yeah, knuckle dragger Nielsen. Go figure. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who
who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in me.
You can find the song on different streaming services now. Peyton Dave is blowing it up. Alright, some interesting stuff in the news. There's a story that talks about Lindsey Graham and the SecDef in Europe last weekend. Graham using profanity, said he was done with them. So let me see if this plays, all right? Patrick Shanahan and Lindsey Graham spar over over something that happened over the weekend. And evidently some kind of brief. And now this is the danger of the bobbleheads, right? This is the danger of the bobbleheads getting into positions of responsibility. All right. Headline in Vanity Fair. Right. Lindsey Graham rips Trump policy, the dumbest effing idea I've ever heard. The dramatic scene reportedly unfolded last Saturday at the Munich Security Conference after Graham heard acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan telling European allies that Trump is planning to withdraw all U.S. troops from Syria by April 30th. The dramatic scene reportedly happened as where several members of U.S. congressional delegation privately confronted Shanahan about the administration's plans. A day earlier, Graham told Breitbart he had personally pitched Trump on establishing a Syria safe zone along the border with Turkey, which would allow a percentage of U.S. troops to remain in the region as a deterrent against ISIS, joining forces with European and Kurdish allies to monitor the area. Apparently, he figured he'd made some inroads with the president. But when he heard about Shanahan suggesting to Europe allies that Trump is preparing to withdraw all U.S. troops from Syria, Graham exploded. Quote, "Are you telling our allies that we are going to go to zero by April 30th? He asked Shanahan, according to Graham. Quote, "Yes, that's been our direction from the president," Shanahan replied. Quote, from Graham, "That's the dumbest fucking idea I've ever heard." Graham then launched into a list of consequences he feared would result from the precipitous U.S. withdrawal from Syria without a follow-up plan. The Islamic State would return. Turkey would attack Kurdish forces. Iran would gain an advantage. Graham asked Shanahan if he disagreed with that analysis. Shanahan responded, "That could very well happen." "Well, if the policy is going to be that, we are leaving by April 30th, I am now your adversary, not your friend," Graham told the acting Pentagon chief. After a deer-in-the-headlights response, Shanahan reportedly pinned the dumb fucking idea on his dumb boss. So, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse said Shanahan did not have a good meeting. Fellow Democrat Bob Menendez fumed that the Trump administration was not listening to a bipartisan opposition. Shanahan got a chorus of voices that basically said, "This is not going to work. There is a bipartisan resolve not to let this happen, and you need to send a message back to the president that there will be a combined, unified view of this as not the way to go, and that he should change his course." Shanahan basically said he got the message. Interesting. Yeah, so that story has been, you know, that story has been kind of like sidetracked because of the stupid story that comes out of Chicago. And so, anyway, I thought I would bring that to you. Interesting. Laura Logan, is that her name? The interview we listened to the other day. She was just on Sean Hannity last night. Sean Hannity, in my opinion, no different from most propagandists. Does the truth matter to Sean Hannity? Not most of the time, it doesn't. Okay. Anyway, but I respect her, right? I respect her and what she's doing and her body of work. Anyway, reading that from Lindsey Graham, you know what it reminds me of? The things that Laura Logan said about in Afghanistan and in Iraq, the saying, "The only thing worse than having America as an enemy is having them as your friend." And now you're going to hear Scott Cuomo come on, and now we're going to be energized as a nation in the area of near peer war, right? And what are we going to do? We're going to go ask nations in the Pacific, right, around that border, what would be the area of operations relative to China. and we're going to ask them to trust us and work with us, right? When we go around the world and act like idiots, I mean, you would be stupid as an, honestly, right? You would be stupid as a nation. What guarantee are you going to give me that you're not going to do the same shit you did to Iraq, the same shit you did to Afghanistan, the same shit you're doing, right? You're doing it in Syria. Because you want to get the fuck out. Can you give me any guarantee? Well, we promise. You know, this is different. Right. You do it everywhere you go. You do nothing but fuck it up. And you want to know what? They would be right. They would be right. All right. On that cheery note, here's an article entitled, What's Next in Syria? 10 Takeaways. Number one, the U.S. is really leaving. All right, the U.S. is really leaving. Two, coalition members have not promised to fill in gaps. Number three, those U.S. supplied weapons may not be returned. Well, there's a shocker. Four, there is a general withdrawal time frame. Number five, there will be some type of safe zone. Okay, you just heard Lindsey Graham in a confrontation with the acting bobblehead at the Secretary of State. At the Defense Department, that dude, right? And again, that's the problem when you have bobbleheads. And Donald Trump, right? He's made a living with bobbleheads. Everybody of substance in the administration has left, except the Secretary of State. There will be some type of safe zone we talk about. Number six, there might be an observer force or something like it. Well, if there isn't a safe zone, there probably isn't going to be an observer force. Seven, some U.S. air power may remain to support a safe zone or future coalition activities. Number eight, the captured foreign fighter problem is a top priority. The topic comes up every time we have a conversation, an official said, noting that approximately 800 foreign ISIS fighters from about 40 different countries have been captured in Syria. Nine, are they headed for Guantanamo? Response, it's not at the top of our list. Number 10, whether and how many U.S. troops will go from Syria to Iraq is undecided and politically tricky because the Iraqis want to know what's next. All right, next article by Sean Snow, prolific writer at Marine Corps Times. He's kind of the franchise. This is why the Corps is partnering with elite Air Force pararescue jumpers in Africa and Europe. Any response by Marine Forces based out of Europe to a crisis in Africa would have to overcome the tyranny of distance and time, meaning help would be a long way off. Even if they speed and long distance capabilities afforded by tilt rotor aircraft, it will take hours to arrive in Africa Command or AFRICOM. It took nearly 23 hours for the Fleet Anti-Terrorism Security Team, Marines, responding to Benghazi. Marines and U.S. government personnel are at risk in high operations in this austere environment with vast geographical boundaries. It would take hours for wounded Marines or civilians to be taken to hospital. It also means responding to downed aircraft, rescuing pilots, or personnel can be laboriously fraught with complex hurdles. To massage this challenge, the Corps is now partnering with the Air Force Guardian Angel pararescue jumpers, also known as PJs. The initiative to embed the PJs with Marine Special Purpose Task Force Crisis Response Africa started in November of 2018, according to Major Adrian J.T. Rankin Galloway, spokesman for Marine Forces Europe and Africa. See, we don't have any asset like that, right? The Navy runs our medevac. or the Army does, their dust-up units. We don't have any. The Air Force parajumpers are charged with personal recovery missions and are trained to rescue and provide life-saving care in nearly any climb or region. They often operate alongside special operations units, but also can work as an independent team. And that would be a response to the golden hour requirement in Africa. Can you do it? Is the question. Yeah. See, a lot of the problems is if, you know, if you send special operators in there, if you can move them into the region first, that helps. And then, you know, and so you've already encroached in the region. You've cut down the response time. And so that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And so, but if you can't do that, it's extremely problematic because of the time-space problem that you simply can't. You're stretched too far. So what happens is it's a good thing if these things kind of percolate slowly. And that's, and again, if you, so in that context, think about the tasks that were given to those Army Green Berets, right? And whether they did it on their own or people knew, but, you know, they knew the golden hour. And how do you stick them out there if you can't get to them in time? Either with medevac support or with some type of shooting device to get their ass out of a problem. How do you stick them out there if you can't support them? And, I mean, that's on General Waldhauser. And he has successfully escaped taking blame for that. But that's, I mean, that's on him. Every initiative that we send out there, those basic questions have to be answered. How do we support them? How do we support them? And how do we, with not only medical support, but also with supporting fire? How do you do that? And not good answers. Anyway, a disturbing story out this morning. Headline. In Navy Times, Coast Guard officer plotted to murder innocent civilians. Right? And, I mean, thank God that this idiot got yoked up. So there's a picture of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shotguns. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 pistols ranging from, looks like, revolvers to semi-automatic pistols. let's see, a sniper rifle. 1, 2, 3. Different military grade semi-automatic rifles. It looks like body armor. And a whole series of things that look like flashbangs, a whole series of magazines. Anyway, this idiot was an officer of the United States Coast Guard, a self-proclaimed white supremacist who drafted a hit list of prominent Democrats and media personalities, part of a plot to murder innocent civilians on a scale rarely seen in this country, federal prosecutors wrote in a court filing this week. Lieutenant Christopher Paul Hasson, H-A-S-S-O-N, was arrested February 15th on firearms and opioid possession charges, but a filing Monday in U.S. District Court for the District of Maryland warns that those alleged violations are the proverbial tip of the iceberg. The defendant is a domestic terrorist bent on committing acts dangerous to human life, prosecutors wrote. Hasson, an acquisitions officer in the service's National Security Cutter Program, previously served in the Marine and Army National Guard from 1988 to 1993. According to a filing that seeks to keep him behind bars until his criminal trial concludes. A resident of Silver Spring, Maryland, Hasson, 49, has been in custody since his arrest last week. He conducted online searches for pro-Russian, neo-fascist, and neo-Nazi literature between 2017 and 2019, took inspiration from the manifesto of Anders Breivik, a far right-wing domestic terrorist who killed 77 people, mostly children, in two coordinated attacks in Norway in 2011, according to the court filing. Breivik's manifesto provided a blueprint for future single-cell or lone wolf terrorist operation. I'm just looking for more of more background on the guy. Let's see. On his list, evidently, are prominent liberal media people at MSNBC, CNN, Senators Kristen Gillibrand of New York, as well as Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, Senator Blumenthal, which is Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut. Let's see. And they show kind of a screenshot of a spreadsheet. The same day he made the list, prosecutors say Hassan used a search engine Google for the following phrases. What if Trump is illegally impeached? Best places in D.C. to see Congress people. Where in D.C. does Congress live? Civil war if Trump impeached. So you can see an absolute wackadoodle. So congratulations to federal agents for yoking this idiot up. Number two, NATO troops got catfished and honeypotted on social media, revealing serious vulnerabilities. Right? This is the oldest game in the world, right? I mean, this is how Clayton Lone Tree gave up his information in Moscow. A NATO cyber red team decided to see if it could infiltrate their forces through social media accounts and learned it was far easier to get data locations and to sway their troops' behavior than they thought it would be. Overall, we identified a significant amount of people taking part in the exercise and managed to identify all members of certain units, pinpoint the exact locations of several battalions, gain knowledge of troop movements to and from exercises, and discover the dates of active phases of the exercise, the NATO report found. The level of personal information we found was very detailed and enabled us to instill an undesirable behavior during the exercise. So, and you know how it works, right? Pretty girl, right? Comes on to a lonely guy, right? Sends him interesting pictures, blah, 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 blah. Honeypotted. He was also a jarhead F-18 mechanic back in the day. Yeah. Unbelievable. Let me just tell you, I mean, that guy's like, he's sick, right? You read the article, the opium, the guns. Let me guess, he's living by himself. So, anyway. Next article. Does anybody want to be Secretary of Defense? The search for a permanent replacement for former U.S. Secretary of Defense James Mattis, a candidate who will satisfy both the President and the Senate, is not going well. In recent months, at least four potential candidates approached about the job have demurred, according to several current and former U.S. officials. The list includes Senator Lindsey Graham, Senator Tom Cotton, former Senator John Kyle, all Republicans. Retired General Jack Keane, who served as the Vice Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army, has also taken himself out of consideration. Their reasons are bound up in part with the hardships of the job, sources say, but they also appear to be tied to the personality of the person the Defense Secretary currently serves. Quote, those sacrifices associated with becoming Secretary of Defense deter most qualified candidates, said Lauren Thompson of the Lexington Institute think tank, noting that the position's low pay and uncertain longevity. The president's mercurial personality has simply exacerbated the drawbacks. The juice ain't worth the squeeze. Right? The juice ain't worth the squeeze. So, yeah. So instead you got a bobblehead that is running around the world doing Donald Trump's stupid work, like the stupid work that he's ordered in Syria. And then you have Lindsey Graham and other senators and congressmen listening to what Shanahan is telling European allies that we're out by April 30th and exploding because they thought they had convinced the president to do otherwise. We talked about this story a little bit yesterday. Vladimir Putin says Russia will target the U.S. if it deploys missiles to Europe. You know what? At some point, again, Vladimir Putin needs his pants pulled down in public. Russia's GNP is less than 7% of the United States GNP. It isn't a contest. And we should stop treating him as any form of equal, right? Although, you know, his nuclear arsenal would tell you that we should, right? He is faking it. Russia fakes it. So, anyway. Which military branch best prepares troops to separate? The answer may surprise you. I venture a guess. Best prepares troops to separate. I would say the Air Force. Come on, they're the smart people. If you're in the Army, chances are you'll feel better prepared when it's time to get out than if you were in the other branches, according to the results of a recent Military Times poll. 74% of soldiers who responded to our survey said they agreed either somewhat or strongly that if they separated from the military today, they would be prepared for the overall transition. 66% of sailors, 64% of airmen, and 59% of Marines said the same thing. Yikes, Marines. Lowest opinion of their transition program. Soldiers were also the best prepared for challenges related to family reintegration, benefits, education, and health care. Bested only in the area of finances by the Air Force, the survey says. One reason could be an approach taken by the Army Soldier for Life program, which emphasized the importance of acting transitions within the military. Of acing transitions. Acing, I guess. Quote, learn and understand how to transition from point to point now. Southeast Regional Director, Lieutenant Colonel Rinley Martys told Marine Military Times in a recent interview about the civilian-to-civilian transition. About the military to civilian transition. So, there you have it. The Army. By not a small margin either. 74% of soldiers say that they feel like they're well prepared to transition. So, anyway. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Lieutenant Colonel Scott Cuomo is going to join us. And we're going to, do some deep diving intellectual stuff here. So, get ready to put your smart person hat on, because this is not going to be like dumb person radio. This is going to be future of the Marine Corps. This is going to be Pete Ellis type stuff. Yeah, so get ready for that. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.